What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Daniel A. Nelson Podcast Show. This is where we play and talk about the music you love. Tonight, again, I am excited because I have a friend, and he's also my son, Demonte Rapp. Everybody give it up for my man, Demonte Rapp.
Oh, that was an amazing introduction. I love the music, and I love the audience.
Yeah.
You really showing out. You really stepped your game up since the last time you had me on the show.
Oh, man. Well, you know, son, you know, I think in life, we all should try to get better or do better.
I agree.
So, you know, that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the show again. This is our third time, and I'm checking on your progress in the music endeavor that you have going on in your life. I know you're doing a lot of things. And I know the last time we talked about your Christmas CD, and that did pretty well. And you're going to re-release that anytime this year?
You know what? I probably won't re-release it. I may do a live video of a song or something. There's some other things that I want to do. Once I did Christmas all year, it really just sparked something in me. And I got some other things that I want to do. I want to do Christmas with friends, where I'm able to have like a live recording of everything. But yeah, that's the idea. That's the goal.
Okay. Yeah, that was a very, very good CD. I was getting ready to say album. I'm always dating myself. But anyway, that'd be a good thing. Now, you're working on some new stuff. Tell my audience what you have going on for this season.
Okay, so and I'm really excited about it because it just happened. I had a meet and greet with an artist named Kendra Erica, and this was my first time meeting with an artist. And when I showed up to the meet and greet, she was amazed that I knew her material already. And so she was like, "Wow, you know my songs?" And so I said to her, "Well, you got to show up prepared."
Right.
You don't show up to a meet and greet and not know at least a couple of songs. So I was glad that I was able to do that. I ended up landing the gig, and we had our first rehearsal. We had our first rehearsal, had a studio session, got a chance to meet her, her A&R rep and her manager, which is her mom. And it was, it's some stuff coming. It's some stuff coming up for the summer, and I'm excited about it. I get to MD, put a band together, figure out a budget and everything.
Oh, okay. So is she an independent artist, or she has a record deal, or how you working this?
So she's independent. I think she's got some people helping her, but it's if your mom's your manager, you got to be somewhat independent.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And you know,
but that's a good question. I should ask her that.
Well, the reason why I ask that, because I know there are a lot of parents that take care of their children because of so many raw deals that has happened in the past. And I don't even know how true this is. I know when Toni Braxton got signed, I know her mother and father was there, or it was some type of introduction that they met L.A. Reid and Babyface, and they kind of got together, and the mother said, "You make sure you take care of my daughter."
Oh.
You know, because, you know, a lot of people get taken.
Yeah.
And especially when you're going out for these deals, and people front you and things of this nature, then sometimes the money seems good up front, but in the back end, you owe everybody. You know, so.
Yeah.
But that's a good deal, though. So what style of music will you guys be approaching?
So what she's doing is she is changing some of her pop stuff into jazz. Mm. And so she's changing some of her pop stuff into jazz. I don't want to give away the secret sauce of where I'm pulling from, but it's classic, it's stylish, it's elegant. I'm talking black tie event with, you know, with champagne flutes and a big band. That's the aesthetic that she's kind of going for, and that's right up my alley. Just that's the style of music that I love. And so, like I was telling you about the rehearsal, when I was able to sit at the rehearsal and get an idea of a show that she's trying to put together, and we were able to do it, her A&R guy came in and he's amazed. He's like, man, you're so familiar with her tunes. How are you doing this? And they're really excited about it and pleased. And you know, you said something about kind of getting over, and like I recently did the Gospel Explosion,
okay,
at Disneyland, which was a great experience. And I was able to see there that I undercharged. I undercharged for what we did.
Wow.
I undercharged. And so when I walked into this situation, I had it in my mind to make sure that whatever it was going to take for me to get the job done and be happy about it, I was courageous enough to bring that up and mention that. And it helped me set the tone for what I bring to the table.
Yeah.
And what she can expect.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I feel especially in the business that we're in, and I think it goes with almost any business that people are in, real estate or whatever the case may be. I was watching a video by Myron Gold, I believe that's who it was, and he was talking about offer. And pretty much, sometimes the bottom line is, you know, we offer what we have or what we can do for the person, and it's up to them to either take it or just, you know, leave it on the table. You know, it's like what he said, you know, you make an offer on a house and that person make a counter offer. Then all of a sudden, you know, they might make another counter offer. Then you guys come to an agreement. And in the business that we're in, there are some people who might be able to do tracks for $500, but then there's people who need 10 grand.
Right.
But I think it always depends on what you're trying to accomplish and what the artist is trying to accomplish, and you guys come to that agreement.
Right. Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah. Okay. Now, with that being said, you mentioned jazz. I know in this present day and era, there are different type of name of jazz. You know, you got your smooth jazz, your acid jazz now. And I know you don't want to give away the secret. You said it was more of a classic.
Right.
So, can I take a guess?
I won't tell you if you're right or wrong, but you can.
All right.
I'll look at you.
All right. I'm going to say you're going for a semi-big band, yet old-school Oscar Peterson type of feel. Okay. All right. He's looking at me, y'all. Okay. So anyway.
Well, I'll put it like this. Because Oscar Peterson was such a dynamic keyboard player, he probably wouldn't leave a lot of room for a vocalist.
Right.
So
yeah.
I'll give you a more of a ballpark. Think about Frank Sinatra.
Oh, okay.
Without going too specific, think about Frank Sinatra and what he was able to put across. But instead of having, you know, the complete horn section, you got a piano and you got a drummer and maybe a bass player.
All right. Man, I can't wait to hear this material. I'm excited. You know, ladies and gentlemen, again, this is Mr. DeMonte Rapp. You got some other exciting things coming up, too. I know you're changing locations as far as your, what is it, your music lessons? I know you do lessons. You do private lessons, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then you're also going to be stepping out into another establishment. Has that been fulfilled yet, or that's still in the future?
So I'm still waiting to hear back from Compton Unified. But the goal is to be able to land the band director position there at Compton. They're building this new facility, and Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg have been pouring money into the district, and I was able to link up with an acquaintance, or you could say somebody that I taught. You know, he's doing really good in the rap industry right now, and
he has
a grandmother that sat on the board. And so he said to me, and I won't name drop, but he said to me, you know what, you taught me so much And then when I showed him a video of my daughter playing the trombone, he was amazed. And he said, you know what? If I can make the connection, then I'm going to do that. And to put a good word in, because we need people like you in the district. Like, look at where I am because of somebody like you, you know. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be, you know, headlining tours, top of the iTunes charts. Not saying he put all that on me, but just putting music into the hands of the youth. You know what I mean? And being able to really do that, not just from a place where I believe what's happening now in schools, where you have kids, they might play a trumpet, they may play those things and stuff like that, but there's really no feeder. So what I mean by that, like, because you play football, Dad, imagine if your middle school football coach had you from middle school all the way to high school.
Right.
You know what I mean? He doesn't have to get to know you in the ninth grade because he's had you from 6th through 8th. So he already knows what you can do. He can groom you. He might be able to set you up with coaches and get you workouts and stuff like that because of that time that he's had with you. And so I want to take that same motto that they use in sports and use it for music.
That's good. That's good. You know, I always feel that people, you know, who are inspiring to do something and those who know, I think it's imperative that we pour into those people because the bottom line is we can't take these gifts that God loaned us with us. So it doesn't make any sense to me, you know, just to, I've been at churches where people, you would ask them about an organ setup and they would just slapping all the draw boards,
yeah,
and not even show you. I'm like, wow.
They call that gatekeeping. they're gatekeeping the information.
I'm like saying, wow. I mean, seriously, you know, it's stuff like that. But for you to have that young man come back to you and compliment you like that, and then you know, give you some insight on a particular job to invest more of the God-given talent to these people, man. That's awesome.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well,
thank you. I was able to see what it could look like when I was teaching before, right? I was able to see what happened if you had 4 students that were interested in sound and take those students out of class and they come to the auditorium and we look through film and we figure out how to fix things. And I remember at one point, I think I told you, I had the students, they were soldering wires. So they turned a mono cable into a stereo cable. Okay, we had a soldering. We probably shouldn't have been doing it, but we were doing it and they were having fun. And I had professionals, you know?
Right.
And so to see, just for God to have given me a glimpse of what could happen if he allows me to have a space and just to be free in that space, I'm really looking forward into having that space again.
Man, that's awesome. You know, that's awesome. Look, I want to ask you this question.
Okay.
I know you play at a church, and I want to talk about discipline.
Okay.
Because, you know, like I said, you're teaching music and all these great things. How is it when you're working with a church band compared to a school band? Is there any difference, or talk to me about that?
I would say within a church band, from my seat as the music director, and even before I was directing, just as a keyboard player, having played keyboard and having played the saxophone. So I'll give it to you from when I started out playing saxophone.
Okay.
From a saxophone perspective, playing in the church, there is so much freedom for you, but you're not the main voice. So that's the difference, I would say, between being in like a jazz band versus being in a church band, you're kind of like, you're kind of like special teams. You come out and you kick a field goal. Like, hey, we need a sax solo right here.
Well, okay.
come play the sax. But during the song, I'm just kind of sitting there ad-libbing. It's kind of like, you know, just adding color. But within a band, I don't have that. You don't have that freedom as a saxophone player. You have to play your part.
Okay.
You have to play your part, because if you don't play your part, there's not necessarily a rhythm section, if you're talking marching band, that can fill that gap.
Everybody know your name if you don't play the part.
Oh yeah. I remember one time it was so hilarious. We were at the Bayou Classic. I want to say it was 2012, and there was this one particular band member. She was supposed to march to the right. I want to say it was 10 or 15 yards, right? But instead of going to the right, she went to the left, and it threw the entire field show off, and she was running because she had gone the wrong way. And everybody knew this individual had messed up, because that's how important it is for you to be on your mark.
Right.
And know your steps, because if you don't, it can throw everything off and you will stick out like a sore thumb.
Oh, man. Okay. Hey, all right. Let's talk about the stage band. Let's talk about the church band or the stage band.
Okay.
Now, how does that differ from the marching band and things of that nature?
Like state, like not church anymore?
Or either church or well, actually, I'm talking about your stage band.
Okay.
You know, because I know you do other outside gigs and stuff like that. So let's talk about that.
How does that differ from marching band? Depending on the genre, depending on what the genre is, like if it's jazz, then you're more so vibing with one another.
Okay.
If it's jazz, you pretty much get the vibe. You're not so particular with the parts. Now, if it's like top 40 stuff, then... This is something that I learned in college, and I was so embarrassed because we had to play for the pageant, the cover when homecoming. So homecoming, you have a main artist that comes, you got the gospel explosion, you got all these things and all these alumni here, and we had to play. I'll never forget it. We had to play Empire State of Mind by Alicia Keys.
Okay.
And that song is probably four chords.
All right.
About four chords, and I go to rehearsal and I'm jazzing it up and I'm sprucing it up and all of this stuff, and then my frat brother's like, "Hey, Rap, did you learn the music?" I said, "Yeah, you don't hear me? You don't hear these chords I'm putting in this?
Right.
You know, this fly, ain't it?" He's like, "Nah, man, nah." He's like, "You gotta play the song." And this is shout out to my frat brother Chevis Ross, who has amazing chops. But on that gig, he brought a kick, hi-hat, snare.
Yeah.
That was it.
That's the way you're supposed to do it. That's the way you're supposed to do it. I had a guest artist not too long ago, Jared Harris. That's what he usually brings. When he subs for us, he just brings that. And I'm telling you, I mean, he does an amazing job. Awesome drummer. Of course, he plays bass too.
Okay.
He's the founder of Slapback.
Okay.
So, but yeah, what you're saying, though, I think I get what you're going for. Play the song. There's so many people that would just, you know, do a lot of stuff and miss the meat of the song. And like you said, I've known people that have, you know, gotten fired. Even though they can play circles around, you know, a lot of other people.
Yeah.
But they just didn't play the song. So, you know.
Yeah. One of my mentors, Myron, he told me, he said he'll never forget. He showed up somewhere and he was playing like circles around the stuff, and the guy says, he says your brilliance is appreciated, but your presence is no longer needed. He said that was the last time somebody ever had to tell me that. Like, man, you're amazing. You're killing it. But you don't got the gig. You didn't get the gig. You didn't get the gig because of that. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that happens, man. But that's a good thing though. I'm proud of you. Keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you.
And you know, my prayer and my hope is that things keep going well for you. And even though a lot of things are challenging in this lifetime, I think it makes you better. My mom used to say, either things going to make you better or it's going to make you bitter. And you have the choice.
Yeah.
Especially when it doesn't go right for you, or like the way you want it to go.
Yeah.
So it's going to either make you better or it's going to make you bitter. And what I love about you, son, you don't have a jealous spirit when it comes down to just enjoying other people's music. And that's appreciative, because there are a lot of people that covet other people's gift. And I see that that's not in you. And that speaks volume. And there are times where, I'm not going to lie to you, I look at YouTube and every once in a while it jumps on me. But then I got to shake myself and say, you know what, Lord, I'm grateful for what you gave me, and help me to improve on it and be a better version of me and not of anyone else. So I appreciate that about you.
Oh, thank you. I definitely get jealous. No, I'm just playing. But I wanted to go back to something you said about the bitter and the bitter thing.
Okay.
I was telling you about the artist that I just got, and thank you. Shout out to my brother Myron McKinley, who helped me to land that, and he made the introduction.
Hey, Myron.
he also helped me. Well, there was an opportunity to do a Saturday gig with people who he plays with, Stacey Lamont and Ian.
Okay.
And he sent me the songs. He says, "Hey, man, I might need you to fill in on the keyboard for this gig." And I said, okay. And I was waiting to hear back, so I didn't really make any plans or anything like that. But then when he reached back out and said, hey, these are the songs, this is the rehearsal. So then I stayed up until like, it was like 12:31, and I learned all the music that night.
Wow.
All of the music. I knew the hits. I knew, and it was top 40 stuff. It wasn't anything complicated. It was stuff that I kind of had golden stuff, like I Can't Go For That. It was stuff like that, but I learned the stuff. And then he called me the next day and said, you know what, they got another keyboard player. And at first, and I wanted to make sure that I expressed my gratitude for the call, you know, because I meant it, you know, thank you for the call. And I said, hey, I do know the material. If anything changes, I'm still available. He said, okay. He said, sometimes this is just the way things go.
Right.
Like, you were a fill-in and they got a different fill-in. So it just goes like that. But I said, yeah, I was ready. And that's what I communicated. But I was a little bummed about it.
Okay.
And I shared it with my wife, and my wife was like, well, if you're getting these calls now, then you must be close. And it's a good thing, because you learned the material and you were ready. You know, so you said the better or bitter part. And, you know, those songs, I'm probably not going to forget them, because I set up and I learned that stuff, because I said, man, I'm a gig with these guys. I'm not going to show up unprepared.
Yeah.
And then it paid off. It paid off that when I went to the studio session with the artist, like that same thing, showing up prepared.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what though, the key thing is, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready.
There it is.
Man, I appreciate this, son. Thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule to sit down and talk to me. I really appreciate it, and I just wanted the world to know what you got going on, because you're a good musician. But not only a musician, you're a good person. And I know the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. But with that being said, before we close out, can you give any advice? I know I asked you this the last time.
Okay.
But, you know, some people might be struggling, because I know you do have a YouTube channel. As a matter of fact, I'm going to plug my own YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I do have a YouTube channel, not because I wanted to, but... But my son and his wife, my daughter,
yeah,
they've been pushing me.
Oh yeah.
And the whole thing is about all I do
play is one chord.
It's not long tutorials. Mm-hmm. Not because I can't do it, but because of my schedule, it's just crazy. So basically there are times where I'm just trying to figure out what is that chord. So I just start studying chords and just getting their names.
Yeah.
But my son and my daughter told me, look, Dad, there are a lot of people that don't know chords, right, and they don't have time to try to go to a chord book or anything like that. Just post up a chord and don't worry about it catching on. Just mm-hmm. let everybody know what you're doing and just go for it. So I started my YouTube channel, or actually I've been working on it more and more. It's been up and running. But my son, he has a YouTube channel, and there's a lot of things that's posted up on there. So I want you to tell him about what you got going on your YouTube channel.
Okay, so I'm on my YouTube, and thank you for that plug. And then shout out to you, Dad, for doing the chords. I had a chance to watch some of the shorts in that. It's just one chord. He's playing one chord, but it sounds great. So if you're a beginner, or even if you're intermediate and you're just wanting to find a new chord and then learn how to apply it, add it to your vocabulary, because it's nothing like learning a new word and not being able to put it into a conversation. You get a new word, onomatopoeia, and you just put it everywhere. Yeah, that's an onomatopoeia right there, man. That's that onomatopoeia was green. Like, hey, okay, we get it. You learned a new word.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You know, it's not just learning new chords, but it's also context. But about my YouTube channel, and I thank you that you've put me on the spot here. So that means I got to start putting some more. So I see what you're doing here. No, but what's on my YouTube channel. So you'll see some of the stuff that I play on Sundays. But one of the things that I really want to start pushing more is come practice with me. Right, because you see these videos, but the way you look at a workout video, that person that's doing the workout is working out with you. But sometimes when you look at the videos on YouTube, they're not necessarily doing it with you or encouraging you while you're doing it. They're just doing it, right? So the idea, hey, come practice with me. So there's exercises, and there's warm-ups. And that you can go to, they're in a playlist, and you'll be able to see yourself improve. It's something that you will have to look at just about every day. Just like if you were doing a workout, you gotta do it consistently so you can start seeing the improvement. And so now that I've been practicing, I showed you the scale this morning. I've been practicing,
all right. Yeah.
You know, having finger strength, and I noticed that my left hand and my right hand is getting faster. And so I'm going to continue to do it. But yeah, that's what you can expect on DRAB08.
Yeah, I was gonna say on YouTube channel.
Yeah,
DRAB08.
Yeah, I may change it. It may become Rabbi Music. I don't know. But for now, it's DRAB08.
And you know, y'all forgive me. But what is my channel? Is it called
Angel of This House?
Okay, that's my channel, Angel of This House. It's called channel. You know, I'm trying to learn all these terms, y'all. You know, I got a birthday coming up in a couple of weeks.
Sure do.
And I'm not old. I would never say that. But, you know, all these new terminologies, you know, I be calling things, oh, what's my handle? And all of those type of stuff. So, y'all just bear with me. But anyway, son, I want to thank you again. Give it up for my son, DeMonte Rapp.
Thank you. Thank you. Keep it going. Keep it going.
Look, we're going to be signing off. And again, thank you for always subscribing and listening to my podcast channel. This is Playing and Talking About the Music You Love. Peace.